Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
I have two very brave people sitting in front of me, Fred Cook and Julie J. Good morning.
Hi, Brendan.
Morning, Brendan.
So now, we should explain. You're a husband and wife, comedy duo, and you're starting marriage guidance counselling at the Cat Laughs tomorrow. Marriage counselling specifically is the name of the show, though, we should stress. But you're both in it. You're both married to each other. How long have you been married?
Oh, it's the big questions.
This Christmas is 2 years. This Christmas coming.
Yes, yeah. So it'll be 2 years of Christmas.
You were testing him now.
I know.
I say nothing. I look over at Fred and see. And Fred is a vague memory
of a Mr. and Mrs.
Christmas time wedding.
Surprise.
So you're, of course, you're still at that early stage where you will parade all your secrets in front of a crowd, because you know what happens, right? In another couple of years, the secrets become more toxic and more ingrained, and you don't talk to anyone about your marriage. So are you going to parade your marital issues on stage for people's entertainment?
We're mining our relationship for laughs. So we're going to be in the Cat Laughs tomorrow. Yeah. The show is actually sold out, but it's called Marriage Counselling. And I suppose the whole premise of the show is, like, we're like every other married couple out there. You know, it's all lovey-dovey on Instagram, and then behind closed doors, we're basically John and Mary from Father Ted. Like, we're killing each other half the time. And of course, when you're having the marital woes, you discuss the woes with your friends, and invariably someone will say, have you thought about talking to somebody about this? And you're like, sure, we're talking to 100 people a night about it. I mean, it's very cathartic. And that's kind of the format of the show, isn't it, Fred? It's like the first half is me giving my side of the spiel, and the women in particular really relate, and it honestly, like, the energy, Brendan, it's like a Beyonce concert. Like, we could take a city if we wanted to. And then the second half, Fred comes along with this guitar, and it's almost like, did you do the, I don't know if you did the concern debates in school, like the points of rebuttal?
Yes, so okay.
He goes through the points of rebuttal, and it's very much lads kind of vibe. And we just bring people together, don't we, Fred?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds a bit more divisive than that, Fred, if you don't mind me saying it. So the women enjoy the first half and then the men get their revenge.
Exactly, yeah. It goes from a Beyonce gig to a Richie Cavanagh gig in half an hour. So I'd say, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's mighty crack. Like, even...
It is a lot of crack,
we said we couldn't afford marriage counselling, so we might as well just channel our energies out to the public with stand-up. And, like, our first show was called Getting Out for Tonight, because we did it when we had a four-year-old, and they were just delighted to get out of the house. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it was a big thing.
So your shows really do what they say on the tin, for ye, like. So the first show got you out for a night, and this is getting you
free
marriage counselling.
Our next shows be like, we're back together.
Like life after divorce, I imagine. But anyway,
is it cathartic to air the grievances like that?
It is, I think, because we kind of go through, like, the marital arguments. That's a big thing. So that's really cathartic. So I think there's a lot of, like, a lot of people really relate to that. So we go through the marital arguments. But it is ultimately cathartic because, in all honesty, I guess the reason I fell in love with Fred is because he's so funny. So when you live with someone, sometimes you forget how funny they are. And then seeing him in that way on stage, it's lovely because you're kind of reminded, oh, he is gas.
Why can't you say this to me off live radio? Why do we have to go on live radio?
Is there anything else you wanted me to say, Fred? I forget.
So it's rekindling the passion as well. God, I thought I hated Fred, but actually when I see all these people laughing,
I know, and you know, it is a bit of that, because you know yourself, you would be arguing a lot at home. I mean, like, one thing now, Fred has this really infuriating personality trait where he sees the best in everyone. It's something we have to work on as a couple. So that would be something that would cause a lot of rows. And
that's wonderful that we even noticed that.
Julie, why is that problematic for you?
No, sometimes you need an out vent, but Fred is just this really good person, you know, so he's not the person to vent to. And then I don't know what other
arguments. But you're a great person as well. It's not like
of course I am. And temperature being another one.
Yeah, one of the arguments we had last week, because we're in the sea, and thankfully, you know, it was lovely to hear all that stuff earlier on, and I couldn't get in. I thought it was freezing, and Julie jumped right in And my whole argument was that, well, I read once that women have an extra layer of skin. Yeah, so it's easy for them. They're just warmer. Like,
Fred said this to me, women have an extra layer of skin. And I was like, no, Fred, darling, you're just circumcised. Like, that's, I mean, that's the difference there. It's not the same. It's a whole different conversation.
Okay, so we are getting really down to it here.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that true, Fred, or is that said for comic effect?
No,
I mean, think, is it true that you're circumcised?
No, it's not. Okay. No, yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to test the veracity of any of the other claims here because you're only getting in the way of things.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's only one way to prove it, Frank. Come on.
Let me Google circumcision and I'll answer that in 5 minutes.
You see, I think there are couples all over the country now who are relating to this because, and even if people can't see the body language, they're picking it up, which is that, Julie, you're leading this affair, obviously. And then now and again, you kind of look at Fred and almost give him the nod that, Fred, you can talk now.
Fred, no.
Fred, would that be... Like,
oh, yeah. Teacher's got... Julie always says to herself, she's got a bit of a whack of a teacher about her.
I used to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably am. That is something, Fred, in your defence. Like, he does have to put up with that I probably am a bit of a mentor at home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
in what way?
Well, look, I know if I'm trouble if I have to stand in the corner for 5 minutes.
And to be fair, and you know what? It is, it's just something, if you have been a mentor at some point in your life, it's really hard to switch it off. Because I do try, you know, I do try not to be a mentor at home. But then even at Christmas, I was laughing because I was saying to Fred, there's a fine line between hanging out with your in-laws and a parent-teacher meeting. So I just found myself saying... Do you remember at one point I was saying to your mom, Fred, I was like, Mary, he's a lovely fella. He'd do anything yes, for you, right. But he's just not giving me 100%. Like, yeah. I'm giving him the feedback, but it's up to him now. So I do just, unfortunately, I do kind of have those moon tourisms, I think.
It does for me. It brings back memories of school sometime. Like, last week we were in Spain and we had this awful argument and I just had to walk away. I walked away for an hour and it felt like I got suspended. I was kicked out of the energy.
Suspended
and I'm back
from
in.
Your own family. Yes.
What was the awful argument about?
It was very random. I can't remember what it was.
I can't imagine that you'd get into a random argument with someone like you, Julie.
Brandon, just fired. Excuse me.
So come here, how long were you a teacher for?
I was a teacher for 10 years, actually.
Okay,
I was a teacher
so it's well
for a
ingrained
long time.
In you, is it?
It is. And you know what? I really did love the teaching, but it just reached the point where, like, some of the 6 years were coming to my gigs. Like, it was game over then.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You weren't going to be asking anyone for their homework because they all had serious dirt on me at that stage. But I did really enjoy, like, I loved the teaching, but it's just one of those jobs that you really can't be doing the comedy at night and teaching during the day.
And of course, you one of your comedy tours, you were wearing a red latex bodysuit as well.
I'm still wearing that. Not currently, but I have this show, which is kind of a love letter to Britney, and I wear the red latex. Actually, it's funny because I was just saying to somebody the last week, God knows what Ted, our son, thinks I do for a living, because obviously we work at night. I'm usually wearing red latex, Fred, when I leave the house, and then I'm usually paid in cash. So I'm just coming home with these money, wearing the red latex. I'd say you'll be happy to say goodbye to the red latex, Fred.
Oh no, yeah, I try it on myself when you're not gigging. I love it. The funny thing as well, I noticed, because we're always gigging, so we have to be so. Oh. We have to be so organised, you know, with our son. And so if one of us is away, the other one's with our son. So I'm convinced now that our son thinks we're separated because we're never, the two of us are hardly together with, well, we are, you know, when it comes to holidays
or
and stuff.
Or he thinks you're the same person.
Yeah.
He never sees you in the room together.
Well, Fred, you were saying, what were you saying about, because we do, when I say Ted's usually asleep when we're working. So you were saying about the Friends, that he probably thinks we're like the cast of Friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we've had like that in lockdown because he's just looking at both of us, you know, for the first 5 months of his life, going, we were like the cast of Friends. Like, you must have been thinking, do you guys have jobs? What do you do?
How do you afford this? This doesn't make any sense.
The three of us here,
you're just cracking jokes with each other all the time, but how do you survive?
So listen, I want to get the kind of nitty gritty of the bickering of the relationship, because if they're getting it in Kilkenny tomorrow, we want it. So in terms of how you met, Julie, you found love in the Knoll, as so many people do. Is it fair to say...
We found love in all. Well, yeah. Dublin thing, we found love in all.
Yeah.
It's a that's a John Cleary joke, so thank you.
I'm glad you did that. He'd been tweeting that. Is it fair? Would stalked be the word?
No, Brenton, too strong a verb.
Okay.
We did a gig in Knoll, and Fred, you were giving me a lift home. And then I think Fred was just trying to get me out of his car. And he said, listen, if you're ever passing through Galway, let me know. Which actually, in and of itself, is such a funny way to phrase it. Because whoever is passing through Galway, like maybe it's a kind of a destination. Like maybe if you're on your way to Aran Mór or something.
But I think most people would have just taken it as it was just something he was saying.
Oh, yeah. But I'm very literal, Brenton. Okay. This is the thing. So then we went. So then I was in Galway a couple of weeks later, and we went on a lovely lunch date, didn't we, Fred?
Did, yeah, on Chop Street. It's gorgeous, yeah.
And then I texted Fred after, said, had a lovely time. And then Fred responded with a
thumbs up.
A thumbs up, like this is the relationship that should never have happened. And then I really tried to keep the conversation going because I responded to the thumbs up is basically flipping the birdie at someone, let's face it.
Yeah.
But I then asked Fred a question and it took you 2 weeks to get back.
Yep.
But you did get back, and then after that the rest of it is history.
Okay.
Yeah. We met up on Tinder as well, didn't we? Like,
Hang on, completely separately
to this.
We were still on Tinder after that moment. So, okay, we're breaking up. I can't believe this.
Hang on a minute.
He gave you
a thumbs up, then didn't get back to you for 2 weeks. He was still on Tinder.
Now, Fred,
fair play to you, Julie, though. You didn't give up.
I'm very forgiving. But Fred, you said not so long ago, did you message me or something on Tinder?
I messaged you, I Instagrammed you saying you better like me on Tinder. Because I swiped right for you. This is the thing.
This is kind of like when Fred says, my phone, there's something wrong with my phone and it won't let me answer calls to you. I don't think I ever got a message on Instagram. I think the internet must have not been working that day. But Fred maintains he messaged me on Tinder or Instagram or something. But I don't know. I never got it. I don't think I did.
This is like we're getting into the real live deep stuff. Now, this feels like you haven't actually properly discussed or prepared this at all.
We didn't know we were doing this interview. It's all getting a bit Jerry Springer.
Okay. Well, I suppose, though, ultimately, life is about, and a good relationship is about compromise.
Oh, yeah.
Straight away.
Well, the thing is,
Fred, you're the compromiser here, I'm guessing, are you?
I think so, yeah. Well, put it this way. I was thinking, like, I grew up in Kells, County Meath. I have a lot of love for the Royal County. And Julie grew up in Dingle in Kerry. So through love and compromise, I'm now living in Dingle.
Okay. So she met you halfway in a Kerry kind of way.
I was like, at least Port Leash. No, we're going the whole way. We're going the whole way.
But listen, you clearly do laugh a lot together. Or are you just putting this on for the radio?
No, we do. Yeah. Oh, thankfully now you got us on a good day. It could have been a minute silence for the whole thing. No, we do laugh a lot.
Yeah. And I think that's what we kind of have in common, is that it's such an obvious thing because we met doing comedy, but we do laugh a lot, and like sense of humour is so important. And that's kind of how we work through stuff.
Yeah.
We kind of laugh about it and we kind of, you know, we kind of take the piss a bit as well. And that's kind of how we kind of, I suppose, work through stuff.
Because you know the way a lot of comedians, it can be quite bleak people at home and everything. Yeah, it's not an angst-ridden house, I'm
No, guessing. Not at all. And Fred, you're like a one-man band. Like when I'm trying to put Ted to bed, you've got two melodicas, the keyboard, the guitar. I mean, Fred is off stage what you see on stage. Like he's that kind of energy. Do you know, he's a real...
All the time, Brenton.
I know, all the time. Sometimes I do have to go and sit in a darkened room for a minute just to kind of recalibrate. But like, that's who you are.
Well, yeah. Well, I love
which being is a, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love being a dad. You know what I mean? It's a different discipline. And I know when I was working on the Tommy Tiernan.
A different discipline to what? To comedy? Yes, a lot of similarities, but it's quite different in ways. I should hope so, Fred.
A lot of heckles.
You can't say, I think I'm going to give up comedy. You can't do it the same way.
Like, well, Fred, you're definitely the fun parent.
I don't know about that. Yeah, sometimes. It depends on where Ted's at and what he wants. Do you know what I mean? So I know when Ted was 4 months old and I was working on the Tommy Tiernan show, I used to drive back from here to Kerry that night. So I would leave RT at 12 o'clock and I'd get back around 4 a.m. and I'd be exhausted. There was nothing in me. And I'd go in beside Julie and Ted would start crying. So I'd get out of bed and I'd start, and both of us would go down to the sitting room, and I'd give him the bottle, and both of us would be crying together. The two of us, he was trying to put the bottle in my mouth. Going, God, I thought I was bad. Here, take that.
And it was so funny because when Fred, I knew he was great for doing. I have to say now, he was brilliant because Fred, obviously, we were living in West Kerry when you were doing the Tommy show, and like he would leave our house in West Kerry first thing on a Monday morning for filming on a Friday, and he did that week after week. He was really milking it there for a while, but he was great.
I'm just driving through Belfast, you want milk?
Brendan, you think he's you? That is actually not a joke. I think once I rang him to see where he was and you were coming via Galway or something. It was insane.
This was in the pandemic as well, a lot of this. All right, so you're going places because you could, like.
Oh, I just let her permission. I felt so guilty.
From Tommy Tiernan?
From the production company, it actually said, go wherever you want. So I showed that to the guards.
And you used to love showing that at the County Bounds.
Oh, I did, yeah. I did feel a bit guilty now, to tell you the truth, because like the guards would stop me on the Limerick roundabout and two cars ahead of me. The first car would be like, I'm delivering oxygen to a hospice. And then the second would be like, I'm delivering this blood to another place. And then my car would come along and I'd be like, I'm pulling the curtain for the two Johnnies tonight. You know, Ireland needs me. I'm on the front line. I felt so guilty about it, but delighted.
So back to the parenting. Are you on the same page with parenting? Because I do think that's important.
I think so. I think ultimately we both just want the best for Declan. Like, we just want him to be happy.
Obviously,
you would kind of take that as a baseline that you would want the best. Neither of us wish him any ill will. That's for sure.
I know. It's kind of like that is kind of, the baseline for sure. I know, but I think, we probably are. Like, I probably am. I often say Fred is probably there for the crack. I'm there for survival. I think that's kind of the vibe at home. And Ted is great because I think he knows we're both performers, so he won't hold back with his reviews either. Like, he will often say, "Mammy, that's funny," or "Mammy, that's not funny." Like, his review
really,
is kind of one star from the Irish Times. He's nearly three and he's still in the bed with us. I know, he's still in the bed.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's getting pretty crowded. So
I'm seeing you, Julie, you're in the bed with two overgrown children, baby. The picture I'm getting.
Yes, I mean, for sure. And I'd say Ted will probably be in the bed with us till he's doing his debs, to be honest. I'm quite happy having him in the bed, but he's so I'm probably a little bit more, I would say, I don't even know if a serious parent, but I would probably do more of the practical stuff, and you're kind of more of the there for the crack parent.
I have to agree to this.
even when he was doing the night feeds, it was so funny. Like, I come in the next morning and Fred, obviously the lads would be in bed and the guitar would be on the couch. Fred would have these Aptamil bottles just strewn on the floor and like MTV blaring on the like it really was like coming into a house party.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, that's kind of the vibe now, I think, the two of you. Great time together.
Well, there's a moment, he's great. But we don't know how intelligence is going to be like any parent, like he's still two or three, and like so we don't know what side of his intelligence is going to fall on. Is it Julie's side or my side? But all I do know is that Julie got like 400 points more than me in the leaving cert. So
okay.
And, like, she didn't and even, I didn't even do that well.
No, you only got like 450 points. So
fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Come here. Can I ask an awkward question? How is the intimacy with Ted still in the bed?
Oh, it's tricky, isn't it, Fred? I mean, it is probably the best contraceptive ever, keeping your three-year-old in the bed with you. But look, we did get pregnant again, so it did happen. And that's something we do kind of talk about in the show, because I guess, and again, it's something I think married couples or people in long-term relationship, they can really relate to, because obviously when you're initially courting, you know yourself, it's all kind of like passion and Cirque du Soleil stuff in the Shomer Lappa. Yeah, and now, I mean, especially when you're acting.
You see, you're calling it the Shomer Lappa. That's a passion killer for me straight away. Fred, fake Aaron Tom, Toshin Om, Dolgari and Shomer Lappa.
August on the road again.
I just write it up on the whiteboard.
Oh, stop. Nobody will ever do it again in the country now with these images in their head.
I just put up the data, I put up our learning objective, and we're good to go. But I guess
now it's like we're making love in a Moken Eloch. We would be making love in a conditional tense. There's an excuse now.
But it is kind of, it is that kind of thing that, you know, when you are actively trying to get pregnant, and it's something I know I talk, I don't know if you talk about it in your half of the show, but I definitely talk about
it. Do you not know
it.
What he's going to say in his half
well,
of the show?
Do you not feel you
should have cast an eye over that?
But I feel it's kind of, well, I mean, I definitely would never censor Fred, and he would never censor me. And it's kind of half the crack of not knowing what the other person's going to come out with, because then you are genuinely laughing along and having the crack with it. But I know, like, even when you are actively trying to get pregnant, and it's something that I do discuss a bit, it's just a different vibe to what it was in the beginning of the relationship. You know, you kind of
like
say,
the way you're putting it, yeah.
Listen, this morning, okay, so you kind of go into, you know, you go into Fred and you say, look, Fred, I know this morning we were both Googling family law solicitors, but I'm ovulating for 10 more minutes. So yeah. Would you mind pausing the Super Mario there and let's go and do what lovers do? And Fred's always like, well, should I turn it off completely? I'm like, I wouldn't turn it off completely. I think a pause would be sufficient. What level are you on? Yeah, let's pause.
Okay, but it worked anyway.
It did, thank God. We're delighted.
And I believe the baby is due around the time of the Edinburgh Festival, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, and hilariously, because comedians are so crazy, even though I am due in August, so many people have asked me, are you doing Edinburgh? Yeah, and I'm like, no, but I'm having a baby. And they're like, would you do a week? Would you do the first week? I mean, comedians are nuts. Let's just establish that. So I'm taking the month off, which I don't know, is that a bit extreme? But I'm doing it.
And Fred, are you taking some time out?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Very, you know, it's very important for both of us that we take this time off.
Well, and, I'd say.
What's funny about that, Fred?
No, but the thing
well,
is,
it'll be nice, because like, the last pregnancy, you missed out on a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it'll be nice now for the labour. Like, Fred will be there when I need to throw the hypnobirthing book at his head. Like, he will be there for that, because the last time... you only just made it.
Absolutely.
And you weren't
now,
in any of the scans.
So this was during the pandemic and everything.
Yeah,
you were excluded
yeah.
from
we had a lockdown baby, but this one, like, I'm allowed into all the scans in the pregnancy as well. And it's
which
great.
Which has been
and,
really nice. I think it's going to pull us together.
Like,
bit.
3 weeks ago, we were at the scan. And we were like, because we don't know what the sex is. We're going to, like, leave it as a surprise. So when we were doing the scan, this sonographer, is that what you call it? Sonographer, yeah. I call her. And
a stenographer. And,
a sonographer. Isn't that a person?
A stenographer, is it? It could
be.
Stenographer.
Yeah,
yeah. A stenographer is a typist in the court,
On Judge Judy. Yeah. She's the person typing, okay?
Yeah. You're right. On Judge Judy, or indeed in a courtroom in general, but yes.
Well, you were the Radio 1 presenter, Brendan. Yeah, we're coming to you.
I didn't know why there was a person typing on the side of
your every word you said was taken down in evidence. So go on, anyway.
So we're getting the scan done. And they said, so the lady who's doing the scan, so went down around the kidneys and the liver, that's where you find out where the sex is. So she said, look away now if you don't want to find out. But I couldn't help. And I looked and then I had to say it. I was like, oh my God, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, does it? And then she said to me, that's the placenta. I was so embarrassed. I didn't know what
you
to say.
You were embarrassed.
I was like, I won't be cutting that one off. No way. Yeah.
And Fred, will you get to go to Edinburgh on your own this year?
No. I'm not. Do you know, I love Edinburgh, but you know, early memories of Edinburgh. Do you remember, Julie came to a show of mine in Edinburgh and there was four people at it, including Julie, right?
There was a nun and me.
A nun from Kells used to babysit me as a child.
What was the nun from Kells doing at the Edinburgh Festival?
She was at the Arts Festival and
then it was so funny because there was only the four of us and I was pretending to be a regular punter, and then at the very end, because you were wrapping it up a bit prematurely, and I said, oh, what, do your bit about the phone, and then Fred had to out me as his partner.
Yeah,
to the other three members of the audience. Who are the other two, Fred? Your parents or your cousins or something?
Well, thankfully, like, it wasn't like a journalist or anything like that, or a critic.
A
reviewer. You know, it was like, if I wasn't married or from Kells, there would have been two people at that gig.
and you said yourself, there is a fine line between a gig and a hostage situation, which is kind of what it was as well.
Yeah, but I'll definitely do it next year. Just this year, I guess.
You're busy.
What's important? I'm busy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You say the phrase hostage situation. I think there's an element of a hostage situation about this marriage, but it's very enjoyable.
Need,
anyway, Fred is trying to tell me things with his eyes there,
but
help.
Okay, so listen, you can see Marriage Counselling, the new show by Julie J and Fred Cook, tomorrow night in Clear's Theatre in Kilkenny as part of the Cat Laughs Festival. And listen, people got a great laugh out of that. What a tonic, says Mary O'Brien in Blennerville. Thank you, thank you, thank you again, Fred and Julie. Starting the day with a great belly laugh, says someone else. I love Fred and Julie. Oh, I taught with Julie's Aunt Geraldine, this woman says. Is this the nun, maybe again? Funny runs in the family.
Oh, sure, she's the real comedian. And big shout out to Ger, because Ger is so great for babysitting our son Ted as well. So she's an amazing person.
Incredible support.
Okay. Yeah, okay. She really is.
When you're a comedian in the family, is everyone else in the family going, of course, she goes on stage with her, but sure, we're all funnier than her. Isn't
there is a bit of that.
And Geraldine is known as the real comedian in your extended family, I can imagine. Guys, thanks a million. That was great fun.
Brendan.
Okay, we'll take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.